Freedom Fiends.
Top of the Sunday to you, Governor. Have you any guns?
Have any I'll guns? I'll just take those from you.
Yes, this is the Freedom Fiends Live. I am Nima Vidati, representing that Austin, Texas. Over on the other side there, we've got Michael W. Dean. How you doing, Mr. Dean?
I am doing well, Nima Vidati, and I am broadcasting live and worldwide from a windowless bunker inside an undisclosed location in the side of a mountain in the rural Wild West in the occupied states of America. Primarily, I am in Wyoming, is what I'm trying to say.
Excellent. There you go. Fair enough. Excellent. You're doing well. You have much well to do. So let's go ahead and get into it. Today, it's all Kokesh all the time.
May 19th, 2013. Dateline, the world. So our buddy, well, I don't know if he's our buddy, but he's we're friendly with him.
We try to be. Hey, buddy.
Hey, buddy. Yeah. Adam Kokesh is in jail and nobody can seem to find him. They don't know if he's in federal, state custody, Gitmo. Don't know where he is. He disappeared. He got arrested yesterday smoking pot at a pot rally in Philly. And he had a bullhorn or something? Did he have a bullhorn? I don't know. He was just... he had a bullhorn, right?
He often has a bullhorn. I didn't see him get arrested, so I don't know if
he was born with a bullhorn. He was born with a bullhorn.
He has one surgically implanted into his right hand.
Yeah, when you look on Wikipedia for Adam Kokesh, and if people don't know who that is, he is a... he's often called a radio host, but I don't think he's on radio. He was on TV. He did a Russia Today cable TV show. He's a podcast.
For about 3 months.
Very popular podcaster. He's on LRN. I guess they're on a little bit of radio, a little bit of community
radio. He's a raconteur, a professional rabble-rouser.
Yeah, raconteur implies liar. He's not a liar.
Oh, does it?
Okay. Yeah.
But he is
a showman.
Way.
You know, on Wikipedia, it says his influences are Ron Paul, Murray Rothbard, and Thomas Jefferson. And I would add P.T. Barnum, because he really does have some circus in his blood, and he was born with a megaphone.
It's kind of a cool thing, man. He can draw attention to himself and thus the Liberty Mission often.
Yeah, and he's also the guy who's planning the July 4th armed march into D.C., which we have said before and we'll put on record again. We're not telling people not to go, but we are not going. And I wouldn't go if I lived up the street in Virginia. I'd stay home. I really would.
If I lived close, I would go as a member of the press. I would go to film it. Nice camera, nice tripod, wear a suit.
You'd observe it through a powerful telescope, basically, like Mr. Burns. Like how Mr. Burns looks at poor people. If I want to look at a poor person, Smithers, I'll observe them through a powerful telescope. I can't do Mr. Burns.
It's like taking guns from an American.
It's like taking guns from an American. Got any guns, Governor?
I have any guns today.
Yeah, it's more like taking guns from a Brit. You know,
from a Brit. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Boston Tea Party said after the British so easily disarmed and just turned in all their guns that if they had another march to the Nazi camps, the Brits would show up and say, "All right, here's the keys. here's my keys. It's a bit low on petrol, and you might want to watch that front tire. TYRE, it needs a bit of air. Here's a fiver for some petrol." Yeah,
probably. Yeah, good times. But Adam Kokesh, I would, you know, the whole march thing, I don't know, it seems like a bad idea in a lot of ways. Now Adam does really cool things, so I don't know what he's thinking here or what would have happened
big ideas.
Or what will
happen. He likes big ideas that get attention. I don't know, I just, my brain wouldn't have come up with this idea. I don't know, it's not my style. That's why I'm not going.
Yeah.
It's not my style.
Well, I guess the way I feel is it kind of plays into the state's hands, into the government's hands. Like Ben Stone said the other day, you know, why do you want to give them that level of credibility if this isn't about directly dealing with the state and the government in that sense? You know, why march into the belly of the beast? You know, if this is just a show of your own freedom, why not do it in the desert of Arizona or in some place that's friendly to guns? You know, why go to Washington, D.C. just to try to spit in the bully's eye? You know, why not just ignore the bully?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's play this video of someone criticizing the whole thing. I agree with the first part of what he says, I think it's a bad idea and could be turned into, I don't know if bad idea, but I think it could be a really easy target for the feds to, you know, have someone infiltrate it, fire a shot, and just wipe everybody out. That's kind of what he's saying. I agree, and I've said before that I think that's possible. And then on the other hand, he goes on to say that he thinks that Adam Kokesh is a Rothschild plant and that Alex Jones is too. And I disagree with both those statements immensely.
It's a bad move strategically, is I guess what I was trying to say earlier. You know, it almost reminds me of some kind of messianic or apocalyptic kind of a thing. You know, kind of how there are these things called Christian Zionists, and some of them almost want or act like they want to bring about a World War III. They want there to be this big battle between Israel, and if it goes nuclear, whatever, it's okay, because we want Armageddon to come, because we want Jesus to come. Jesus won't come unless the world's starting to get destroyed through this apocalypse. It's almost like that. Like, let's force this thing to happen. Let's force this armed resistance. And I don't know if any rational person would be sane to want some kind of death or violence, or, you know, this, it seems kind of like overblown when you say stuff like that, but nobody could have imagined that, you know, in World War One, nobody imagined Franz Ferdinand getting assassinated would have caused World War One. I mean, that wasn't what people were thinking at the time. In World War Two, when Churchill gave a war guarantee to Poland, very few people said, hey, this is a bad move. This could lead to a giant war. And even the people who thought it could lead to a big war probably couldn't have envisioned something as massive and destruction, death-dealing as World War II ended up becoming. So stuff like this has the potential to be a hot spot for some kind of black swan event where things could get really bad really fast.
Yeah, but, and there are actually comments on different videos about Adam doing this, including his interview with Alex Jones, of people posting on YouTube saying, you know, I'm going to be there and I'm not going to take any crap and I'm bringing my rifle. And other people saying, they're not saying they're going to be there, but saying, you know, I hope this leads to American Revolution II. It's the day I've been waiting for. That's either COINTELPRO people posting on the internet and taking advantage of a not crisis and trying to turn it into one, or it's the kind of people that I don't want to be marching with. So that's why I'm not showing up, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And the people who want something like that to happen, I mean, look at what's going on. Look at what happens in a civil war or some kind of massive unrest like this. Like, look at what happens in Syria. The rebels will cut out people's hearts and eat it and post it on YouTube and chop people's heads off and post it on YouTube. You know, and the government of Syria also commits atrocities. Do we want there to be a situation in America where atrocities are being committed on a daily basis like that?
No,
I don't think anybody in their right mind would want that.
Yeah, I think that people who post things like that have watched Red Dawn too many times. And
I think it's going to be a movie, but this is real life, folks.
Yeah.
And it's serious.
Forget that there are drones too. That's kind of a game changer, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, people had their chance. I mean, people had their chance when people say, I want to go back to the Constitution, to when it was good. And I'm thinking, like, what, before the ink was dry? I mean, within a few years, they had the Whiskey Rebellion, which was in direct violation of the Constitution and was George Washington, you know, killing Americans for not wanting to pay the taxes that were higher than the taxes they'd fought the Revolutionary War against, and killing the people who'd fought in the Revolutionary War.
Yeah. And in a really cynical move, because Washington had direct ties to the whiskey industry. So this was kind of, you know, bludgeoning his competition.
Yeah.
You know, the big guy on the block who can afford to deal with the regs and the taxes, trying to crowd out the small, you know, guy in his basement making whiskey, you know. It's a story that's been told throughout history. But let's go ahead and play a little bit of this. This is a YouTube video from KG Bones, title Warning, Do Not Go to Armed March on Washington, D.C. on July 4th.
Hey guys, Dabu 7, May 8th, 2013. I want to put out a firm warning to anybody thinking about attending the March on Washington on July 4th. This is not a good idea for many reasons. First being the man that is holding this, Adam Kokesh. For a long time, I've had my eye on this guy, seeing who he works for. Once you start to do your background information on this man and find out who his father is and his connections to Alex Jones is pushing him his connections to Luke and We Are Change. They are buddies. And all of these organizations are ran by your government in some form, some manner, some way. Just like Anonymous was infiltrated and pulling off all these attacks, just like Alex Jones is trying to rally the sheeple, Adam Kokesh wants to get 10,000 men to show up in D.C., starting at the cemetery, and march peacefully in a disobedient act of being a civilian. And that if they are stopped by law enforcement or anything else, they are going to peacefully turn around and walk away or submit to arrest, is what they're saying. And Kokesh is saying that he will be the first one to go down. He's also saying that he has the Washington Police Department going to escort them, I guess, so far to the point to where they're just going to stop. And if they continue this march, it's only going to take one shot. The shot heard around the world. It doesn't have to be one of his men. It doesn't have to be a freedom-loving citizen. It could be one shot that rings out from a government official or some kind of sabotage that sets this whole thing into motion. If they march into D.C. with their guns and a gun battle breaks loose, I'm telling you right now, once shots are fired, it's not going to stop. And if this is a setup, like I suspect it might be, this is going to be a disastrous mess for your freedoms, for your gun rights, everything. Now, with that said, if someone was wanting to organize a march in Washington, that's one thing. Depending on who is organizing it and who is leading it, you always got to look at the leader. That's what it's all about. Look at who you're following into the fire. If this was a righteous man with a righteous background and he didn't have a history of trying to stir up things and cause trouble, I would say, you know, a peaceful march without guns would be good. Now, some would say, well, hey, we should be able to march with our guns, you know, through Washington.
And we are,
well,
we are,
you know,
going to the market. We'll have
all
more
right,
about
some
Kokesh.
Pretty strong statements there, calling Kokesh basically a government plant. We'll have more on this when we get back from the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, Inoculation from Indoctrination. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
A science fiction comic adventure from Big Head Press, Quantum Vibe. It's year 2523. There are colonies on Venus, Mars, and Mercury. People travel in bubbles, fly at hyperspeed, with brain implants and artificial gravity. Scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty. Quantum Vibe. There's a robot girl and zany creatures made with genetically engineered features, and corporate villains crave the opportunity to steal a profit from mother's ingenuity. A scientific genius and his clever assistant set out on an adventure through the solar system on a secret mission to find the key to access new frontiers and save liberty.
Hi, I'm Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends, and like you, I'm concerned with privacy on the internet. The electronic police state is strangling our previous protections, and the central scrutinizer is trying to squint into all areas of our lives. That's why smart people surf the net with a VPN or virtual private network. I use a VPN from Bola VPN. Bola VPN has your utmost security in mind and will allow you to surf, email, and do other computing tasks without leaving a trail of breadcrumbs across the internet. Unlike many other VPN providers, Bola VPN doesn't log traffic. With Bola VPN, you can change your apparent location or disappear completely. Bola VPN has been around since 2007, which is OG in the VPN world. Bola VPN is easy to install and configure. Best of all, it can be had for less than 25 cents a day, which is a small price to pay for this much security. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them through the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Yes, this is Freedom Fiends Live. It is May 19th, 2013. And we were discussing Adam Kokesh. Previously, before we went to the market, we played a little bit of a YouTube video of a guy sort of, you know, at the beginning, he's kind of making some good points about why the armed march on DC would be a bad idea. But he also says that, you know, and he kind of just throws this out there and doesn't really back it up with anything. But he says that Kokesh and even implies that Alex Jones could be government plans.
Well, he says because Kokesh has connections to Alex Jones. I would say we have connections to Alex Jones. I've never spoken to the man, but we're talking over the same circuits that he talks over every day, I think. Well, he might be on Channel 1 and we're on Channel 3, but that's a connection to him. Yeah, I don't think either of those guys are Rothschild plants or employees. I will say that without trembling at all.
I kind of guess it goes to the thing that if you're going to make an outrageous claim or a radical claim, you need to have some big evidence to back it up. You know, big claims demand big evidence. And this guy doesn't put it forth here. Maybe he does in another video. I don't know. I haven't really researched this YouTuber. But it just seems to me on its face like it fails some basic tests. Like it's by far not the simplest answer, so it's not likely to be a thing where the government is employing these guys.
Well, I've actually seen someone say that Alex Jones is a government plant because of the satellite feed he uses, which is the same satellite feed we're using right now. Like, basically saying, well, because you're using that satellite feed to connect to radio stations, you're part of the government. Basically, there's no way to connect to radio stations the way we're doing without going through satellites that are controlled by the government. In fact, we're probably going through the same satellites that control the drones. We're probably like three circuit boards over in the same satellites. Drones are evil, well, man. What did you say that was? You said it was embedding with innocence.
Well, I don't think I said that.
We're the innocents and the drone operators are the guilties.
Yeah. Ah, that's it. That's it. The drone operators are using us as human shields.
Yes. Right? Yes.
Okay, that's what you meant. Yeah. But, you know, the government has a monopoly on that kind of thing. You know, there's the FCC, and the government has controlled a lot of radio communications for a while now. So, you know, that doesn't mean that we have prior restraint necessarily or that the FCC tells us what to do. They lay out some guidelines, and they probably won't pay attention to us unless we get a complaint. But that doesn't mean you're part of the same group. You know, that doesn't mean we're part of the government or we're government plans.
We're not allowed to say Bingleschmidt on the air. Oh, wait. Oh.
Oh, Michael.
Darn it.
All right.
I said Bingleschmidt.
Okay. But so I guess we didn't bring it up. We kind of buried the lead. But Kokesh has been arrested, ostensibly not for the march, although maybe that's why he's being held and nobody really knows what's going on. I don't think he's had a hearing. The public doesn't really know what's going on. He's got all of his fans and minions trying to get an answer as
minions?
To where is Kokesh. They can be minions.
Minions.
Good,
well,
good people can have minions.
There's a bunch of people posting, we think this is the number of the police station that he's at. Call bomb them, which means everyone call them incessantly and demand action. Now, I don't know that that's always the best situation. And I'll say this, if I'm ever arrested, I do not want a call bomb. I do not want that worked against our friend who got arrested for weed in Texas, Jillian.
Yes.
It made the judge kind of throw the book at her a little bit harder or threaten to. And, you know, you could say, well, we don't need to be afraid of those people, but take that attitude with your own arrest. You know, I don't know if it's a good thing to necessarily take that with other people's arrest, but it's possible that the people calling for the call bomb are doing it because he said to, and I wouldn't be surprised if he did because he asks for call bombs when other people are arrested. But he was arrested for weed at a weed inn in Philly. And there's a video of him being arrested that someone says is possibly the police planning something on him. And I looked at the video. It's slowed down so you can see it in slow motion. To me, it just looks like, not that they wouldn't plant something on him, but I really don't like it when people present blurry pictures with red arrows, as we call it, as proof of something happening behind, you know, that's secret. And what I see in this video is cops being bad guys, arresting someone for smoking a plant, which is bad, arresting someone for smoking a plant. That's not a crime. But they look like they are searching him for weapons to me. He sticks his hand, one hand in Kokesh's pocket, and then one hand down the back of his pants. If you're going to plant something on somebody, you wouldn't stick it down the back of their pants because it would likely fall out their pant leg and be on the ground by the time you got him in the police car. You said he was slow dancing with Adam. The cop was slow dancing with Adam.
That's what it looked
Adam.
Like to me. Yeah. Yeah, it looked like two guys slow dancing. Somebody needs to post that up on YouTube as a repost with some a waltz behind it or something.
We'll be back with more analysis of things that we weren't there for. When we come back on the Freedom Fiends, when we come back from the market.
Yeah.
We're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. So much truth, it hurts. Should decisions on what you put in your body be left up to people whose very job depends on keeping certain plants illegal? Or do you believe in freedom of ingestion? The Janome Project is a cannabis science community founded by a leading DNA scientist. Get the app by searching Jane-Ohm on iTunes. The app is only $1.99 and all proceeds go to furthering and disseminating scientific truth. You must be 17 or older to download the app. Search Janome on iTunes. That's Jane-Ohm.
Got any guns, Governor? All right, I'll just take that
plenty.
Then.
No, you can't. This is Nima Vedati from the Freedom Fiends Live. It is Sunday, May 19th. How are y'all doing out there in Radioland? We've also got Michael W. Dean out there in beautiful rural Wyoming.
Yeah, I had to let my cat in during the break. We let her out in the backyard. We have a fenced-in backyard. And when she gets tired of being out there, she comes and literally bangs on the door. Like there's a screen door outside the door. Mm-hmm. She reaches up with her front paws in the door and just pushes on it, and it bounces against her. It sounds like a drunk guy, like, "Baby, I still love you. Let me in.
Let me in, meow.
The first
meow.
Time I heard it, when we moved to this house, the first time I heard it, I grabbed a gun and ran to the back door. I was like, who the hell? Because someone would have to climb our fence to get to that door. And I was like, what drunk person is in our backyard banging on the door, man? That's our 13-year-old cat.
Yeah, there you go. All right. So before our little trip to the market there, we were talking about Adam Kokesh and the fact that he is in prison and people are expected to, or at least a lot of the fans are probably phone bombing the jail in Philadelphia. And you mentioned that's maybe not the best idea. I would probably concur in most cases. And the reason being that, we like to compare the government to a dinosaur thrashing in the tar pits or the T-1000 splashing around in the molten steel. And often, bureaucracies are a very dumb institution. And in some cases, they might not even know who Kokesh is. They might think he's just some regular guy that lives in Philly that went to this smoke off. And maybe they'll let him off on a personal recognizance or whatever the case may be. But
then when they get 50 phone calls an hour, they're going to go, who is this guy? Search on Google. And the first thing that comes up on Google in a normal Google search when you search his name is Adam Kokesh arrested in Philadelphia. He's the guy who's planning the armed march on DC. And then the cops would call their buddies in DC and say,
right,
what do you want us to do with this? And I can't say that this is what would happen in this situation, but I know that cops can make it take a long time to get to your bail hearing. They'll probably charge him with resisting arrest because he wiggled a bit when the cop stuck his hands down Adam's pants. Wiggled not in a good way, just kind of like wiggled, like, ew, your hands are down my pants, and he was yelling stuff while being hauled away, which makes sense. When a fish is caught, it wriggles. When an animal is cornered, it's human nature to resist arrest. it's weird that it's a crime to resist arrest because it's basically saying you flinched when we punched you, so we're going to charge you with more time. I mean, it's like that. Yep. You flinch when something comes at you.
And I don't even think that's hyperbole. I think Will Grigg actually has an article about that, about somebody just reacting physically, bumping against – I bumped against your fist when you punched me. So now all of a sudden I'm arrested for – or staying in jail for attacking a police officer. That's not hyperbole at all.
Well, as long as Will Grigg says that it's not hyperbole, then I'm correct. It's been blessed by a pope.
Yes.
Blessed by a better known libertarian. Yes. So, all right. Nothing against Will.
What I mean is he actually has an example of that. I don't know.
Yeah,
exactly.
I'm just kind of making fun of you. I'm making fun of the great man principle, not even you or Will Grigg. So,
there you go. Okay.
Yeah, but, you know, I think it would behoove the government to, you know, they probably want him to be in jail on July 4th and unable to do this unless the whole thing. Here's the thing. If he's in jail on July 4th, I think that proves he's not a government plant. Although the opposite is not true. Absence of what is it? Absence of
evidence is not evidence of absence.
Yeah.
What Donald Rumsfeld used to say about the WMD in Iraq.
And it's also used by two of our favorite goofball characters in the Boondocks.
Ah, yes, yes. One voiced by Samuel L. Jackson. So the thing is, if I don't get Adam's point in doing this whole thing, because he often does get arrested. Somebody on Twitter posted, and now for our daily segment of Days That End in Y, Adam Kokesh gets arrested.
What did you say about I said I've always been of the type of activists to not get arrested, which some people says means I'm just a talker, not a doer. But I think in a lot of situations, you can do more not in jail. And you said there's a rap line about that. Who is it and what is it?
Beautiful rap line. Yeah. Lupe Fiasco, which we talk about a lot on the show, is a great rapper. In his song Around My Way, which I think is actually a single from his new album, Food and Liquor 2, the great American rap album, he's got a line. I've got it pulled up here on Rap Genius, which is a great website, by the way. If you're trying to find out the name of a song, just type in any lyric you know and it'll pull up. And it actually has meaning and dissection of what the lyrics are as well as the lyrics. And it's open source, so people can go in and say, hey, you got that wrong.
It's like Wikipedia for rap lyrics.
Exactly, exactly. And here's the lyric. I'm not going to rap it. I'm just going to say it so it's more clear. Say that we should protest just to get arrested? That goes against all my hustling ethics. And a bunch of jail ninjas say it's highly ineffective. Which is totally true, man. I mean, what can you do from that jail cell? And if Adam was placing so much faith in this big armed march on July 4th, why would he do something that it's highly likely he could get arrested? How is he going to organize it from jail? And like you were telling me, and like I know to be true, bureaucracy and the American quote-unquote justice system is also highly ineffective, and it's not very efficient. He could end up in there for months before he gets a bail hearing, before he could even pay his way out of there.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, I guess my take on protesting that can end in arrest is, I think it more makes, for me, it wouldn't make sense to do something where it's likely you're going to get arrested. It's not like the drug war is going to end if you get arrested for smoking pot in public. It's not, you're not the black lady going to the front of the bus, you know? And I mean, that thing with the bus in Alabama, they had lawyers ready to go. It wasn't, and maybe Adam does too, but, you know, it's a little different times now. There is some stuff that people do that you can get in trouble for that I think is really useful, and Adam has done some of it. I really like the Robin Hooding in New Hampshire.
Yes.
And that was a really they are in trouble for something ridiculous, but it was a really low threshold of threat of jail time for something that got a lot of attention, man, that really did well and is spreading as a meme to where other people are doing it and putting quarters in strangers parking meters when the meter maid's coming up the street to thwart their aggressive collection of money for using something that's supposed to belong to everybody anyway, the public streets, you know?
Yeah. Well, here's the other thing. If this is in some people do view this as some kind of war or battle with the state or the government for liberty, you know, why fight it as a war of attrition? There's the goal of having people get arrested and gumming up the works by doing these kinds of smoke-ins and going to do things that'll obviously get a bunch of people arrested. I don't think you really are going to win a war of attrition, because the state has more people. There are more people that believe in the state, and the government has more resources.
Yeah, I mean, that's
the rebels in this scenario.
That's like a war where your plan is to shoot until your enemy runs out of bullets. This enemy will never run out of cells to put people in. They will build more. They will build more and call it a jobs program, man.
Exactly. Yeah.
Or if they run out of space and need more immediately, they'll take you know, schools during the summer and use them for jails. It's like yeah, that Dead Kennedy.
Like jails already.
There's a line of Dead Kennedy song from 30 years ago that says, "The Peace Corps builds us labor camps when they think they're building schools." And you took that as a line of saying that public education is like a labor camp, and that's not what he meant. If there were a punk genius site and I were to analyze that, I would absolutely say what I think he meant was that in so-called third world countries, in developing countries, the Peace Corps builds schools that other people come in and just turn into actual labor camps and kick the kids out and maybe put the teachers in there for teaching the girls to read or whatever. That happens, man.
Yeah. Sad but true, man. I really don't think that it's a good strategy to protest knowing you're going to get arrested. I mean, I don't know. I'm a freedom guy, so I don't pretend like I'm telling anybody what to do.
We have a strategy.
We
do
have a strategy. I could very well be wrong.
People could say, I mean, I imagine listeners on radio saying, well, what do you plan? You say you don't want to walk into D.C. with guns. You don't want to get arrested for your cause. What do you want? We want education. We want everybody listening to learn about the non-aggression principle, learn why it's the most important thing to know politically, and it just kind of slays all politics, left or right. And we'll explain that more, what the non-aggression principle is. But go teach it to people. Teach the children well. Teach it to kids. Teach it to adults. Teach it to old people. Get into discussions with people. I really do believe at this point the microphone is mightier than the sword. You know, the microphone is mightier than the AR. We have guns. We like guns. Guns are basically for burglars. You're not going to win a war against the U.S. government with guns. You're going to win it with microphones, you know? The last time you probably could have won a Civil War II, well, I would say before the Civil War, because the technology of the government only got bigger and bigger and bigger after that in relation to the people's military technology. And the government won that one, didn't they? The War of Northern Aggression. Right. So, you know, they have drones now, man. They can just take you out.
Right. Plus, you have to look at who your enemy really is. Go listen to some Ben Stone or listen to us regurgitate some very important Ben Stone points. And one of the most important points is the real enemy isn't the government. It's not the cops in D.C. It's not the cops in Philly that arrested Kokesh. What it is it's the state. It's that faith in people's minds that allows them to give legitimacy to the cops in D.C. and the cops in Philly and the politicians in D.C. and all the different bureaucrats that represent the government. The reason they can get away with all the horrible things they get away with is because people look at it and go, oh, that's legitimate. That's right. Oh, yeah, Adam broke the law. Whatever. It might be an unjust law, but it's the law. And I believe in the government and I believe in the state and democracy. And, you know, we have to convince people that, hey, guess what? Democracy is nothing more than a popularity contest between tyrants. You know, it's you saying, I would much rather be tyrannized by tyrant A than tyrant B. That's what we have to convince people of. That way, because here's the thing. Sorry, excuse me. The government is unsustainable. They can't continue their money games. They can't continue their funny money, their central planning, any of this stuff. It crashes. And it does occasionally. We've seen this in history. Not only the U.S. government, but other governments, their economic systems fail, they crash. So our job is to destroy the state in people's minds with our superior educating knowledge, with the truth of the non-aggression principle. That way, when the state collapses next time, people won't rush to reinstall a state or have it rebuilt.
When we
itself.
Say the state, we're talking about the collective hallucination of people thinking that it's a good thing. We're not saying destroy the buildings or the people or any of that. We're saying educate people, and we'll have more about the education. The state is a thing in people's minds. It's not a physical location. Mm-hmm. We'll have more
exactly
when we come back from the free market that costs money, and that's what makes it free.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima.
Want to contribute to liberty but short on cash? You can help the Freedom Fiends without even spending a post-1964 dime. Download uTorrent and start seeding Fiends episodes and DVDs to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. There you'll find our Torrent RSS feed and instructions to grab past episodes and automatically download new ones, even while you're away from the computer. You'll also get special episodes of The Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo days or even weeks before regular podcast subscribers who aren't torrenting. Leave your computer on, seeding the torrents while you're at work or asleep. The more people seeding The Fiends, the more drone-proof we'll be when the boot comes down.
Just a little more progressive.
Progressive, yeah.
Yeah.
We're just a little more progressive, you know, right here.
Yeah. There was Paul Bonneau was making fun of that progressive that I had the argument with about. Well, basically, we're arguing about the gun to the head, and I said,
right,
you know, I said I'm against all government intervention and all laws where people are forced to do anything because. You know, where there's no aggression involved, you know, laws that are progressive, like, we need to do this so everyone will be perfect. Because progressives always think we're just three laws away from perfection. Mm-hmm. So I had an actual argument with one of them on a radio, 10,000-watt radio station in California. And it was kind of the low-budget equivalent of Alex Jones on Pierce Butthole Morgan. Or Pierce Morgan. We call him Pierce Butthole Morgan. Yeah. So I did this argument with this progressive, and I said to him, you know, I don't like that kind of laws because a lot of people don't realize when you write a law like that, you're not just writing something on paper and then it happens. You write it on paper and then it becomes a law, and then cops have to enforce that. And otherwise, it's just a suggestion. And what that involves is cops pointing their gun at people's heads because, mm-hmm. you know, if you don't obey the law, they tell you to obey the law, and if you don't, they come to your house or go to wherever you are. And if you refuse to be arrested, they point guns at your head and either kill you or take you off and put you in a cage. And he actually ran with that. He started saying, yeah. Well, I think the government should point guns at the heads of the ultra rich and take their fair share, take a fair share from them. I like that he took the term, our dirty words. You know, we call it, that's dirty words to us, like putting a gun to someone's head. We'll yeah. say them. But it is dirty that governments do that, and that's how all laws around the world are enforced. But he liked it, and I liked that he picked it up because at least he's admitting it. Most progressives yeah. think, oh, you just write it down, then everyone's good. No, you have to threaten to kill people as the government. That's how a government works. And he picked up on that, and my friend Paul Bonneau said something about, posted a comment about, you did a great job on the interview with that PWOG, P-W-O-G. And I was wondering if Paul had made this up or not. And apparently he did. I really like calling progressives PWOGs.
PWOGs.
I looked it up yeah. and the only thing that came up on Google was Pacific Women's OBGYN Medical Group, or PWOG. And there's a Dutch techno music band called Psychic Warriors of Gaia. And it's psychic with a K and of spelled O-V, which is that's the kind of spelling of what was that cult we talked about? It was a group that was a cult, Psychic TV. It was like their fans tithed to them. It was really strange. And you're supposed to send like body fluids to them to show your devotion. That's a weird rock band.
Precious
man.
Bodily fluids. Yeah. Yeah. Weird. Almost in a metal kind of way, though.
Yeah, it's kind of brutal. It is brutal. Yeah. So PWOGs. We're going to say PWOGs from now on.
I like it because it kind of sounds like baby talk. And to me, one of the problems with this kind of progressive thinking is it is very infantile.
It is.
It reminds me of little kids saying things like, well, there should be no money and everything should be free.
Yes, yes.
And what they don't realize, because they're babies and they're selfish and they're not emotionally mature yet, they don't realize that for them to get something free, somebody has to give it to them for free, which is fine. That's charity. Or somebody has to be forced into giving it to them for free when they don't
yeah,
want to.
Yeah, and politicians love to surround themselves with children as human shields against the truth when they're passing unjust laws. Obama did it recently when he was trying
with the executive orders right after
on gun
Sandy
control.
Hook.
Right. Mm-hmm. And and he had children go up to the microphone and say, I think it's good to outlaw guns because guns are bad. And I'm thinking like, really? This is your endorsement is a 4-year old.
Yeah.
How much understanding of history and you know, systems as big as a nation does a 4-year old have? No,
right.
they know their living room and they know kindergarten, which
and
probably
it's an old play in the PR playbook. I mean, Stalin has pictures.
Hitler did it. Joe McCarthy did it. Everyone did it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It's so square.
It's so square. Yeah, man. If you want something and you think people should have it, advocate that it should happen and then try to make it happen voluntarily. It can, you know, people get great goods and services all the time. You know, you just have to show.
But are you being infantile? Are you being infantile by suggesting that governments should do that and thinking they will? We'll have more on that when we come back.
We will. We are going to go to the real market here in just a little bit. So stay with us, fiends.
I just called Nima Fiends a live. Baby.
Well,
I didn't call you.
You
baby.
Set up a straw man because I didn't say the government
go.
Should do
there
these
you go.
Things. But we'll be back to have a little mini debate, I guess, between me and Michael. Conflict is the essence of drama, and we know you love that drama coming out of the radio into your ear holes. So stick with us, folks.
I think we should do it as babies. I think we should have a debate where, like, okay. We're two different politicians and we do it as babies or as little kids.
All right, we'll try.
Yeah, that'll be good, man. I'll dig it.
Check out the Anarchy Gumbo podcast. Michael W. Dean of the Freedom Fiends cooks up a very special blend of liberty, guns, sex, rock and roll, drugs, and thriving in spite of the state in an increasingly worrying world. All with a rotating cast of nifty guests who are also up in the middle of the night. The Anarchy Gumbo podcast, a tasty stew of freedom and fun. Subscribe at kittyfeet.com. That's KittyFeet.com.
All right, welcome back to the Freedom Fiends Live on Genesis Communications Network. It is May 19th, a Sunday. This is hour two. I am Nima Vidotti, representing that Austin, Texas. We've also got Michael W. Dean out there in the wilds of Wyoming. How you doing, Michael?
I'm good. I was stealing time from the fiends to write some emails to people, and I got it done.
Stop!
But it's all about the fiends. You know, whenever I steal time from the fiends, it's for the fiends. But I want to talk about one thing before we get into this Tyranny Today thing. You have a Tyranny Today about how there's been another secret power grab that may or may not be very important in the long run. And that's kind of how those things go. I mean, it's kind of getting to the point where there's so much tyranny that we can't even keep up. And they slip stuff by us. But I don't know, man. I actually feel freer than I've ever felt in my life, at least in my own home and in my town.
Good.
Yeah.
Why is that?
Part of it's because it's my head's free. And part of it's because I don't live in California anymore. I don't know. I feel that there's a lot of threat of things that could be done to everyday citizens or everyday people. But none of it's happened to me yet, basically. I don't know.
The head free thing is paramount, I think. It reminds me of another rap lyric by a Houston rapper, or I guess Port Arthur rapper, Pimp C, who said, "They can lock my body, but they can never lock my mind." Because he was actually in jail for a few years. They got him on conspiracy, that secret thing, or that thing that they use when they don't have any real evidence. And they say, "Well, you talked on the phone about this thing that could have been a crime, so we'll throw you in prison anyway."
Yeah.
And yeah, man, that's it. You know, the government has massive power to affect what happens in your life physically. But the key is to not let them affect your conception in your mind, because you control your mind. So far, they can't root out thought crime effectively, and they can't get into your brain effectively. As far as I know, they may be working on it. It's possible. But that is the last bastion, is that space in your brain that is yourself.
Yeah. And I want to talk a little bit about action versus talking. And, you know, I mean, I've had people say to us, "Well, you're just talkers because you're not going to march with a rifle into D.C. But maybe so. But I will still be yakking on this microphone after July 4th. I don't know that people who march on D.C. with rifles are going to be able to do that. So here's what I'm saying about action versus words. I hear people complaining all the time about erosions of internet freedom and security and how the government's spying on you 24/7.
Yep.
There's a couple things that we do and we recommend doing. One is using a virtual private network. We recommend Bolehvpn, VPN, BOLEHVPN.net. And tell them the Freedom Fiend sent you. That is an ad, but we don't endorse things that we don't like and we don't use. And we went through a bunch of VPNs and checked them out, and that's the one. We actually bought service with them and then approached them and said, let's work out a deal. That's we do it like the rappers do it. How do the rappers do it, Nima?
Well, Jay-Z likes to talk about he used to, you know, rap about different champagnes or cars or types of things he liked all the time. And then it'd become hot, it'd become popular. Everybody would want, oh, Jay-Z talked about this. Oh, that's that watch that Jay-Z got. Oh, I got to get that. And then yeah. He would approach the company and be like, hey, man, did your sales go up? That's because of me. Give me some money and I'll keep doing it.
Yeah.
Or don't, and I'll rap about your competitor.
Yeah. Yeah, so the VPN is one thing that people can do. And another thing that people can do, and this is really paramount, is use encryption. We have on the Fiends blog, if you go to freedomfiends.com, that's freedom, foxtrot, echo, November, Sierra.com. And then over on the right, down a little bit, there's a picture of a kitty cat at a computer that says Fiends blog. Click on that and go there and search encryption. Search the word encryption. There's two articles there. One is on how to do encrypted email. And one is on how to do off-the-record encrypted instant messenger, which is called Pigeon, P-I-D-G-I-N.
Yeah.
And here's what's really dismayed me, and it's one of the reasons I left Facebook. Another reason is there's the opposite of security on Facebook. I mean, literally, they're handing everything over to the government. They're selling everything to corporations about your marketing habits. And they have breaches all the time where people hack in and get all of their email that's supposed to be hidden from the public. And they have that report this button, which I really hate. And I've been jokingly recommending that people go onto the Facebook pages of politicians, click report this and report them for violence, because politicians are inherently violent. And a lot of them, I mean, they're violent just by being in office and having stolen money, paying to keep the lights on in their office at minimum.
Yeah.
I mean, Ron Paul was guilty of that. But a lot of politicians want to do violent things. They want to, you know, go find some gun grabber. If you went and found some gun grabber and report him for impending violence, I think he's going to do something violent, and explain it.
Yeah.
You know, say he's going to do something violent. He is going to have government guns held to the head of peaceful gun owners. You know, do that. You could do that. I'm not going to recommend
it. Well, if you remember the initial touchstone or touch flashpoint for Waco and Ruby Ridge were gun firearm violations.
Yeah.
The Ruby Ridge guy apparently had a shotgun or sold a shotgun
that was
slightly too small.
He was set up.
But that was the excuse. That was the excuse, was they used the gun laws to justify their violence.
Yeah. And that's not the action I'm talking about. That's that Facebook thing, reporting politicians, is just kind of a fun thing I was saying on the side. You could do it with cops, too. The action I'm suggesting is learning to use encryption. Now, here's what really dismayed me. When I was on Facebook and I posted, we spent, like, four people spent, like, 3 days, like, 10-hour days each, writing and vetting and testing these really, really extensive and great tutorials on how to set up encryption. And I went and posted it on Facebook, and it got about 5 likes and 2 shares. And then I posted something that someone else sent me, which was like, the government is building some big building in Utah to spy on everybody's phone calls and email traffic. And that got like 1,000 shares and like 10,000, you know, 5,000 likes or something. Now, isn't that effed up that like, people will just go out of their way to jump over saying, look, the sky is falling. And over in the corner, I'm going, I have a solution. And everyone ignores it. And it's not about me being ignored. I don't care about me. Other people had the same experience, you know, with posting these two articles. Mm-hmm. And
yeah.
It's really disturbing and saddening to me that everyone wants to yell, look what they're doing to us. And nobody wants to do anything about it. That really hurts. Hurts liberty, man.
I feel like we don't really have a big culture of self-sufficiency here in the United States or in the West in general. It's almost like what the government schools teach is appeal to an authority figure. They will handle it for you. You know, report. That's why the report this button is so popular. It's like if something is wrong, see something, say something. Tell your local official and everything will be right with the world.
If you see anything, do everything.
Say everything. Yeah. You know, it's not if you see a problem, do some problem solving in your head or find some research about some problem solving that fixes the problem and then implement it. That's not really the method that's taught to kids these days. And so the adults don't really have that in their mind. You know, field experience, you know, being out and doing something in your daily life or in your work and something goes wrong and being able to fix it, it's not a skill that's taught. People just call AAA or call the cops or do whatever they can do to tell the authority figure rather than having a knowledge base of fixing problems themselves.
You know, something that they used to have was the Boy Scouts, and they still have the Boy Scouts, but and I don't really like to push the Boy Scouts for a couple reasons. One, they exist to train people for the military. Two, yeah, they are homophobic, but that's only a problem because they're in bed with the government. Basically, I have no problem with, you know, these people not letting gays in or these people only letting gays in. The only problem comes when there's government funding or tax write-offs or whatever. Mm-hmm. So that's why that was a problem. Although progressive would say it's a problem regardless. But, you know, I think that you should have free association. And if someone wants to have a gays only scouting group or a no gays only scouting group, I'm fine with it. I don't care what people do.
Yeah.
As long as it's their own property, and that would be their own property. So the cool thing about the Boy Scouts, though, and I was a Cub Scout until I got kicked out for smoking a cigarette on a camping trip and then curtsying instead of taking a bow just to be a contrarian when I went to get an award.
Yeah.
So, but Boy Scouts, they used to have things for kids that taught them to be self-sufficient. I mean, that Boy Scouts were great for that. They taught you to, like, build a fire, you know, find food, find water, hunt. There was a merit badge for riflemanship. I mean, stuff that now, like, if you talked about it in school, they'd call the police, you know? Now, I guess when people say they want to go back to when America was good, that's one of the things that was better about America before now. They did teach self-sufficiency to young people. They did teach weapons to young people. People were less likely to use weapons in anger and because they knew the power of them. You know, they knew how to use them
safely.
But that
was a cultural thing. That wasn't the United States government was better at something. That was a cultural thing.
Yeah. Yep. And then people who hate progressives say, we need to get the government to protect that and give more funding to the Boy Scouts, which is not the right answer.
No, not the right answer at all.
The Anarchy Scouts.
Start your own Scouts. It doesn't even have to be called the Scouts.
You'd have a merit badge. Whatever you want to call it. You'd have a merit badge in encryption.
And even smaller stuff than that. I mean, you don't have to have a big group. Teach your kids that. Teach your nephews and your cousins that. Go out camping. That's always been a huge thing in my family is go camping, you know. Go fishing. Go hiking. Build your own fire. Cook your food on the fire. And, you know, I learned all those things through osmosis. My dad never said, we're going to go camping and we're going to learn this, this, and this. I just watched him. You know, I watched him as we went camping. And then when I went camping myself with my wife as an adult, you know, I didn't think, oh, well, this is what my dad told me. I just thought, oh, well, this is what I watched my dad do. And it took a little bit of trial and error. But, you know, I can go out in the woods and build my own fire and cook my own food and make sure we're safe. And that's a beautiful thing. So pass it on, pay it forward when it comes to these little self-sufficiency things, because they are a cultural thing. They are a cultural knowledge base, and they should be passed on through personal relationships.
Guns, too. That's a big thing that I really like. There's this thing called the Appleseed Group, and Appleseed teaches riflemanship. And the basic idea is the more people have used a gun, the less people are afraid of a gun. And the harder it is to outlaw guns. You know, I've heard it said that, like, if they decided to outlaw wearing blue shirts, you couldn't do it because too many people like wearing blue shirts. But if you tried to outlaw, like, radio-controlled helicopters, you could do it because 1% of 1% of the country does it. So the more people have fired a gun and don't have the preconception of guns are bad, the harder they are to get rid of, man. So take a friend shooting who's never gone shooting. That's your homework in Project Non-Mayhem today.
There you go. All right, we'll be back after we go to the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean. That proves you're smarter than most people.
Howdy, I'm Ben Stone from the Bad Quaker podcast. The market in free liberty media is overwhelming these days. With such a selection, what would entice a freedom seeker to spend precious time listening to an old bullet-scarred liberty warrior from an age gone by? Would homespun logic and down-to-earth explanations of economics tickle your attention? How about a truly original view of that ugly old dragon, the state? I'll teach you the difference between the government and the state, why the government is nothing without the state, and how to dissolve the state while remaining peaceful and even calm. And we have a forum, and it's got gardening tips. I knew the state was a losing proposition decades before that was cool. Check out the Bad Quaker podcast at badquaker.com. That's BADQUAKER.com.
Freedom Fiends on the GCN and the radios. So, Nima, did we talk about the power grab or did we just tease the power grab?
We just teased it. We can talk about it now or we can go in that other direction you wanted to go. It's up to you.
Just mention it in passing so we can say, you know, when they declare martial law with this, if they do, we can say, see, we knew about that.
Okay. So there's this guy named Jed Morey. He writes for the Long Island Press. The headline is U.S. military, quote, power grab goes into effect. I heard him interviewed on Scott Horton the other day. It was a really good interview, really interesting. And basically, this guy, you know, he digs through the Federal Register and different regs, and he came across something, and he actually did a good bit of reporting on it. You know, this wasn't just a flash in the pan. Like, I'm really freaked out about this just because I saw this
like
one scary
doing,
thing.
Like we're doing with it.
Like we're doing. He actually did some research on it. And because he did that, we can talk about his research. And according to the rule, this is the actual government language, the legalese, the lube the government uses when you bend over.
To ease into you.
This is the language. Federal military commanders have the authority in extraordinary emergency circumstances where prior authorization by the president is impossible and duly constituted local authorities are unable to control the situation to engage temporarily in activities that are necessary to quell large-scale, unexpected civil disturbances. And now here's Jed Morey's analysis that he got through his research. Federal military commanders have the authority. Now, he actually called the Pentagon, and the Pentagon's response was that means anybody in a command position at the time. So it doesn't have to go through any sort of traditional chain of command. It means anybody
that could be a sergeant, right, in the right circumstance.
Could be a lieutenant, could be a private, it could be anybody who's in a command position at the time of this event that they say is large scale or a civil disturbance. So that's one of the scary things that's kind of new about this is the Pentagon defines military commanders as anybody in a command position at the time. The other thing is to engage temporarily in activities that are necessary to quell large-scale unexpected civil disturbances. The key word, temporarily. The government's definition of temporary, as we all know, just means anything less than infinity.
Well, and the state of emergency is kind of ongoing at this point. I mean, I really right. believe that what they want and what they have is, I mean, with the war on terror, because it's an undefinable enemy, it's ongoing. There is no end to it.
Right, right. There's that. And the temporary thing, you can really look at that as look at Guantanamo. There are guys that were supposed to be there temporarily who've even been cleared for release. And temporary for them means infinity. They're still there. They're still getting waterboarded with inshore because they're on hunger strike. So temporary to the government doesn't mean what it means to a reasonable person, a non-aggressive person.
And the reason that the average person should care about what happens in Guantanamo instead of saying, yeah, man, I wish they'd just kill all them. You know, the reason the average person should care is because there's a trickle-down effect of what can happen in situations like that, extreme, exigent circumstances where people are called terrorists. That can trickle down to they could do that to you on the highway. They could pull you over and well, they kind of do in a way. They pull you over. They can, in a lot of states, they can hold you down and draw blood from you now. A lot of states, including Wyoming, which a lot of people think of as a really free state, they passed a law here and stole a bunch of tax money to give iPads to all the cops so they could get warrants from a judge who just wakes up and does it on the spot without leaving the comfiness of his fluffy bed. can issue a warrant to any cop. And, you know, what does the cop have to say? Yeah, there's a guy here who won't comply. And the judge goes, okay. And it's called a pen warrant. And they do it over an iPad.
Yeah, just imagine that. His sleepy eyes wake up to an iPad.
But just
and
wait.
And, of course, he's just gonna tap yes. He's not going to read
it.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
I mean, you know, what happens in Gitmo to the terrorists who aren't considered terrorists anymore because they've been allowed to be released but aren't allowed to be released yet. I mean, just think about when that happens, when that can trickle down to if there's a Democrat in office and you're a Republican and you say something bad about a Democrat or vice versa. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I mean, you really people should not be so quick to back the tyranny of this, the aggression, the violence of the state. And it is violent to hold someone down and waterboard them with insurer because they're protesting your bad treatment of them by not eating. That is violent. And anybody who says, yeah, man, that's a good thing. And this is something I want to bring this up every day on radio. I really want to point out the why the average American who considers himself patriotic should not be saying, yeah, man, blow those people back to the Stone Age. Because what they do to those people, they will do to you. And they will use, and you shouldn't be saying, yeah, man, throw them drug dealers in prison. And that just leads to tanks in your town that can knock in your door for owning a gun, you know?
And SWAT teams everywhere. More than 100 SWAT raids every day. And we'll be back with lots more fiend goodness and attacking aggression from a principled point.
This is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends. I've been on the World Wide Web since its inception in 1994. I've tried dozens of web providers in that time. The only one that hasn't broken my heart is HostGator. HostGator has unlimited server space, unlimited throughput, and a guaranteed uptime of better than 99.9% for only $150 a year. You can pay a little less elsewhere, but you'll pull out your hair dealing with anyone else. HostGator has great service and unlimited tech support, only a phone call away, 24/7, 365. HostGator is where pros like the Fiends host, because we know how to do it right. Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the HostGator affiliate link on the right sidebar to sign up today.
Merry Sunday to you all. This is Nima Vadati of Freedom Fiends Live. We've also got Michael W. Dean.
Wanted to talk about the postal service,
but the good postal service. The tyrannical one. Is that right, Michael?
Yeah, play some.
We can't because we're building a cuss dump here,
but we'll talk a little bit and we'll play it. Just play a little bit of it so people know what we're talking about. They'll get the idea, the postal service.
Yeah, okay,
just play
15
seconds of it.
15 seconds. All
for the cuss dump building.
Okay,
yeah.
Let's do that.
All right. Yeah, okay.
That's catchy. Isn't it catchy?
Yeah, it's a great song, man. I love it. It's a band called The Postal Service. Kind of square name, but there's an explanation. And the song's called Some Great Heights. I'm sure y'all have heard that.
Such Great Heights.
So the reason that band's called The Postal Service, it was before there was really, really high-speed internet, you know, like 10 years ago or something. And they were actually... It was two guys who lived in different parts of the country who were recording and mailing discs back and forth through the U.S. Postal Service. So they called the band the Postal Service. The U.S. Postal Service sent them a lawyer letter, a cease and desist. We're going to sue you for using that. And they started into some, you know, legal action against this band for calling them. They didn't call themselves the U.S. Postal Service. They just called themselves the Postal Service. And but the U.S. Postal Service said, no, that's us, and went after them. And then I didn't hear anything about it for a while. And then I saw an ad on TV for the U.S. Postal Service that used that song. So I guess they either paid them off or threatened to throw them in prison or something. Like, here's what I think. I think that the U.S. Postal Service acted with aggression when in private business, a company would have been a lot smarter than that and just said, hey, let's do some synergy here. We'll use your song and we'll both benefit from it. Instead of saying, we're going to use government aggression, threats of aggression against you for promoting us, basically.
we'll use your song and we'll give you our postal services for free.
Or, you know, what a private company that's really smart would have done would have been to pay them a little bit of money and give them free postal service to use their song and get an endorsement. You know, say, hey, we wrote this hit song and used the postal service to do it. You can have it maybe, and implying, you know, maybe you could have a hit song too if you use the postal service or not. But, you know, just saying we did this with the postal service. So that's aggression. Explain the non-aggression principle.
The non-aggression principle. That's sort of the keystone of modern libertarian thinking. You know, a lot of people on the left and the right, they sort of rag on libertarians saying, well, in your world, people would just kill each other all the time and it'd be horrible. And you're okay with that? The answer is no, of course not.
People because kill each other all the time anyway in this government-based world. I mean, you were talking about the SWAT raids. There's examples every day.
There is that. But the keystone, the thing is no, in a libertarian society, you would not be okay with murder. You would not be okay with rape or any of the horrible private crimes that people talk about because of the non-aggression principle. In fact, the way I see it, libertarian isn't a let's get rid of the government first and, oh, we'll have this magical non-aggression principle. No, the libertarian thing goes like this. The non-aggression principle comes first. You realize as a person philosophically that when a person initiates aggression on somebody else, i.e. they steal from them, they murder them, they attack them, they initiate the aggression. Now, this is also what that initiation part is important because self-defense is not a violation of the non-aggression principle because if somebody initiates aggression against you, they come and attack you, you are well within your rights because you're not initiating the aggression when you attack them back. You're defending themselves. But what we're saying is the initiation of aggression is wrong. You take that as your first principle, and then following from that, you say government action is wrong because government action rests on aggression. It rests on the thought that you got to pay these taxes. If you don't pay them, we're going to send you a letter. If you don't respond to the letter, we'll send some guy to the house. If you resist the guy at your house or don't let him in your house or don't let him steal your money, then we will attack you. That's an initiation of aggression. And government regs work the same way. If you don't run your business this specific way and follow rule A, B, C, and D, then we will send a guy to come make sure you're following the law. If you continue to non-comply, we will initiate an aggression against you. And so the non-aggression principle comes first, and what it says is you can't initiate aggression. That is immoral. And following from that is government action is immoral because it initiates aggression.
Worms.
And, you know, the Postal Service story is also really heartening because it's a great example of the movement of technology through voluntary human action can actually help us to bypass the state structures that are inherently aggressive. Me and you do songs together all the time from thousands of miles away, but we don't have to do that. You have your own FTP thing, and we just send files back and forth. You know, you can sing something, and then because of that, it's better because I can say, hey, could you sing a different note on that? Or, hey, here's the chord progression. Or, hey, that was a little off. Or you saying that to me, hey, Nima, that doesn't work at all. You know, go ahead and change that. And we can make changes on the fly. I can send it to you. You get it in 5 minutes. And while we're still on the phone, we can make the changes.
And there's no central planning. You know, think about Ben Stone actually did a whole episode on how music is the perfect anarchy. And we're using anarchy in the good sense, not in the sense that people say, oh, without government, there'd be anarchy. People say it means chaos or violence. It doesn't. It means a lack of central planning of government.
Well, actually, I like Ben Stone's updated definition that what it actually means is self-order. The an is in animated, as in self-moving. So anarchy is self-ordered.
Yeah, Ben used music as a really good example of self-order without central control. And I pointed out that there are some places where music is centrally dictated, like North Korea. And if you listen to North Korean music, it's all state anthems. And there's, you know, there's probably folk music there, but it's behind closed doors. I actually used to know a guy who played illegally in a rock band in Czechoslovakia before it was the Czech Republic, when it was communist. And they used to have like quiet rock shows in people's basements, and the police would come in. I mean, this guy had actually been dragged out of someone's home and taken to the police station more than once and beaten for playing rock and roll. And anybody who says, I'm law-abiding and is proud of it, I mean, you're basically saying, I wouldn't listen to music if it were illegal.
If I lived in North Korea. Yeah, or, that's
or,
a really good point.
Or Czechoslovakia, yeah.
Korea is such a great example, too, because there's a North and a South Korea. And South Korea is no libertarian paradise, but compared to North Korea, it might as well be, because North Korea is definitely a statist paradise. And in North Korea, you're right. You have some state anthems that nobody's ever heard, because I don't think they've ever won an Olympic medal. I could be wrong. I've never seen it, and I've never heard their anthem. That's their music. And then in South Korea, their musical emissary to the world is Psy, and you have Gangnam Style, which is you know, it
cheesy.
Became a
it, cheesy it's but, great though. But it's free. I mean, it's open.
It is, and it's a hit. And he didn't have to mail you things through the postal service and have the government tell you to listen to his song. It was on the other self-ordered institution of YouTube. He just put the video up, and people loved it so much, they shared it so much, that it became, I think, one of the top viewed YouTube videos of all time, I think by a large margin, you know, at the time when it first came out. And that was all self-ordered. You know, it was not centrally planned. It was just something people liked, and so they watched.
North Korea brings up an interesting point of what is a state and what is a country and what is a sovereign nation, because you know, I mean, we're not sovereign citizens. We believe that people have the right to say they're not sovereign, and that ethically, I mean, that they are sovereign, and that ethically they are not beholden to the government. But de facto, they are, because no magic words will keep the government out of your pants and out of your face. Yeah. But interestingly, there are a lot of countries that are not recognized by other countries. North and South Korea do not recognize each other. North Korea and China do not recognize each other. China and Tibet do not recognize each other. Israel and Palestine do not recognize each other. But all of those countries are recognized by one or more, and in a lot of cases by over 100 UN members. So what's a country?
Palestine is sort of pseudo recognized. I think they went for a non-observer status about a year ago or a few months ago at the UN, and I think they got it.
Does that mean they like to watch, or they don't like to watch?
they don't like
to be watched. Who will watch? I think, who will observe the non-observers?
Probably a UN council. I think what it means is they can send a delegate, and he probably has a chair, but he can't vote or make any decisions.
That's weird. That's kind of like Puerto Rico in the Congress or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Kind of like that. Exactly.
You know, a lot of Americans don't know Puerto Rico is part of America. They're like, those Puerto Ricans should get out of America and go back to where they're from.
Yeah.
They don't realize that Puerto Rico is an American protectorate. I don't even know the status of it, but it's part of America. You know, it really is. And it's part of America because America took it, stole it, you know?
That's a really interesting point you bring up, too. There's lots of tiny little islands and places around the world that are America, that America did just take, and people don't know about them at all. You know, even people who think they know a lot about foreign policy or world geography, I had never heard of the Chagos – I think it's called the Chagos Archipelago. And it's this place – I think it's in the Indian Ocean. I'm going to try to pull up a map now. This is one of those places I can't point out on a map, and I really look at maps a lot.
I like that there was a cartoon of the difference between North and South Korea, and it showed someone in North Korea with a gun in their back being forced to mine for minerals, and it said, "We need more minerals." And then it showed a kid in South Korea like playing some video game where the goal was to get more minerals.
There you go. But the Chagos Archipelago, so it's basically due south of India, a few thousand miles there, I guess due east of Somalia and Kenya. And there's a place on it, I think it's called Diego Garcia's, sort of the bigger island. And the Americans basically came in, or not the Americans, but I'll say the FedGov based in Washington, D.C., took it over, marched the people out of there in sort of a Trail of Tears thing, just commandeered the land. And I think that's where they run the bombers that have the nuclear weapons on them. So this is the point that's strategically important to the FedGov, that they can threaten the world with nuclear annihilation more effectively through holding this. And they just came in and took it. And the people, you know, horrible human rights abuses. That's the FedGov, man, just marching into a place saying, well, this is ours now because we want to hold the world hostage with our nuclear weapons. So screw you if you lived here or homesteaded it in some kind of Lockean sense and it's your private property. So the government can use eminent domain in this way, basically, without you even being an American or living in America. They can just come to a place and say, hey, it's ours now. And people don't even know about it. I didn't even know about it until I heard it the other day.
I think technology can replace anything the government can do and do it better. Someone just said it sounds like you and I are in the same room, but I'm in Wyoming and you're in Austin, Texas. And using a little piece of technology, it sounds like we're in the same room. That's pretty cool, man. And we're on radio all over the country. Well, actually, radio. Not all over the country yet. I think we're
in
on
some
one,
places.
We're on one station. One station today.
In select stations, you know, like they do three with the art films.
Yeah, three stations on Saturdays and one on Sundays. But we're going to be on more next week. We got a couple more we're adding, I believe. We will let people know. Yeah.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Nima V and Michael Dean, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
So we got... Love the Fiends and want to help out? We do take donations and we put them back into our Liberty projects. You can make a donation by clicking on the spinning coin on any post. But what if you want to help, but you ain't got no cash? Or you made a donation and you want to help more? Here's how you can help. Download and seed our torrents to help keep us drone-proof. There's a Torrent Club link at the top of freedomfiends.com. You can also blog the Fiends and share episode links on Facebook, Twitter, and elsewhere. You can rate and review our movies on Amazon and IMDb. You can rate and review the Freedom Fiends and Anarchy Gumbo and our songs on iTunes. That really helps a lot. You can buy our movies and share them with friends or give them out as gifts. And one of the best ways to spread liberty is to buy a bunch of Freedom Fiends buttons and give them out as gifts. Wholesale prices are available, and you can also comment on our site, or better yet, comment about us on other sites. And please email the site link to all your friends. Thanks for helping spread the Fiends message worldwide to as many Liberty people as you can, especially to those who don't yet get it. You rock.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. All right, folks, it's Nima Vedati and Michael W. Dean back for more Freedom Fiends Live. It is the end of our show, but that means, excitingly, it is time for the Freedom Fiends Tweak in Review! Yes.
Now, is that Tweak in Review, or is it the Tweak in Review? We review whatever the latest tweaking for the week.
Whatever tickles your pickle, Michael, I don't care.
Tickles my tweaking.
You're free in your mind, so free people can decide which it is, if it's tweaking or tweak in. So to start, we started off the show talking about Adam Kokesh, and we got two basic points on that. Why protest just to get arrested, man? That goes against all our hustling ethics. You know, don't worry about going up to the bully and spitting in his eye. And that's the other point I guess we have about the Washington, D.C. armed march, is why attack the government on its terms, in its capital, in its strong point? It's not a good strategy. If this really is a battle of freedom versus tyranny, that's not a good march to take. You know, rather ignore the bully. Do your own thing anyway. Avoid being seen by the bully.
Yeah,
crypto anarchy, things like that.
Here's my thing, man. Guns are for stopping muggers. Microphones are for stopping the state. The microphone is more powerful than the AR with the state.
Yes. Yes.
Peacefully teach the children well and reduce, basically reduce the demand for government until it just drowns itself in the bathtub going, meh, nobody loves me.
Yes, exactly. And the way you do that is attacking the state rather than the government. Attack the mind state of the people who think that the government is legitimate when it aggresses on you. You know, freedom is in your head and tyranny is in the head of the obedient. So convince them that they should be free in their minds and not let the government lock their mind as well as lock their body. That is the job of the freedom fighter. Next, we have Pentagon power grab. So according to some good reporting, in the government language now, field commanders can basically declare martial law if they want to. I mean, there's some caveats like, oh, we couldn't get a hold of the president and such. But field commanders have
that
ability.
Can they ever
now.
Get a hold of the president?
There you go. He's busy playing golf in Sri Lanka or whatever. So, yeah, I mean, I don't – basically, it's also been said, you know, the government has said this is stuff that we're basically codifying. We've already believed we have this power anyway. So there's that. There's the other thing of, according to the guy who did the reporting, I think it was Long Island Press, he says that, you know, there was similar language back in 2007 in the NDAA
love rewriting the laws. I mean, really, right. There wasn't a lot in the Patriot Act that they weren't already doing here and there anyway, you know?
Right. And what had happened when it was written previously is a bunch of state governors, like the State Governors Association, said, nah, that's the natural function or the state function of the National Guard, who is controlled by us.
Yeah, so the governors want state rights to tyrannize in their own state.
Right. But the guy thinks that just like in 2007 when the state governors got together and quashed it, they'll probably do the same thing with this most recent Pentagon power grab. I guess we'll see what happens with that.
National Guard, yeah. The last thing they did at a protest was shoot people and kill them, unarmed people at Kent State, Ohio.
Not a good history.
Not the last
with that
thing
either.
They did, but that's what they're well known for.
Right. And that brings us perfectly to our final point in the tweak and review. The non-aggression principle comes first. That is the root of real libertarianism. So left-right state is saying that we want there to be a world where everybody's aggressing on everybody all the time. That is a falsehood and a straw man. That is not true at all. Proper libertarians believe that the initiation of force is always wrong, whether it's done by your neighbor or by Barack Obama or by a field commander given the power by the Pentagon.
Or by George Bush.
Or by George Bush, whoever it is, initiation of aggression is always wrong. That principle comes first. That's why we call it a first principle. Being anti-state is the result of that, because you can't simultaneously hold the thought in your mind that initiation of aggression is wrong and still think that a state aggression is legitimate, because there's no caveat in the non-aggression principle that says, well, if people vote you in, then it's okay to aggress, or well, if you're wearing a badge, then it's okay to aggress, or well, if you work for the IRS, then it's okay to aggress. There's no categorization of the non-aggression principle. It is a universal first principle. So hold that in your mind when you're thinking about us and saying, oh, those guys are crazy. They want some kind of anarchy in the streets. Not the case.
And Nima's gonna run, and I'm gonna take us out, because Nima's got a job to do. Peaceful job. He's gonna go DJ at a wedding or something. So yeah.
With Nima V. Peace.
And Michael Dean. Make an appointment to listen while it's still legal. Learn more about the Fiends and download archived shows at freedomfiends.com. That's freedomfiends.com.
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, man.
Hey,
did a good job.
Sorry about the bumps, but we're getting it worked out.
The bumps? You mean the ads or the bumps?
No, just the bumps on the road.
Oh, bumps in the road. Okay. I think Nima's gone.
The proverbial bumps.
Nima had to go toast some people at their wedding. He's DJing a wedding tonight. It's part of his night job.
Ah, doing the big business, I see.
Yep.
Catch you later, man. Thanks.
All right, thanks. Next week.
Be healthy. I then searched out the best vitamin and mineral company.